We're on page 294. We are in the middle of we are in the middle of Gadlu LaHashem Iti UNiroimim Shmo Yachdav. So we discussed this a lot yesterday, and now I want to see the Malbim. The Malbim is on page 294. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehiyeh Bidvaroi. There are two different words here used in this passage. The word Godol, Gadlu, and the word Ram. What is the difference between the word Godol and the word is a classic? Classic of the Malbim. Shadavar HaRam EF Shal Lushamodam Litfois Oisoi Kamarum Shamayim. The word Ram represents something which is beyond reach. There's no access. Ram is something that is elevated, that is exalted, and is beyond the reach of man, or beyond the reach of the subject of the pasuk. V'adavar ha-godol k'mo ho-amud ha-nitza ba-aretza, a pillar that stands on the ground, v'roi shemagi ha-shemayma, yis bos bo kol adam lufi gov ha. You can touch it. You can grab onto it. If you want to climb it, you can climb up to the top. V'neho amim choshu es Hashem kadavar rom she'i esho lispois boi klal. This is a classic. I remember this far from a long, long time ago. This is cited in many places. That I could, the Goyim, this pasuk is differentiated between the relationship that Klal Yisrael enjoys versus the Goyim. The Goyim, when they look at Hashem, they view Hashem as those who believe. Okay, unfortunately, we live in a society where there's not much belief in God. But those who do have a relationship with God, they look at Hashem as removed. He is present, he's there, he created the world. Whatever they believe to different degrees of his involvement with this world. But Hashem is out of reach. And sheyefshel litvois by klal shbeshena mashkiach aleihem kama shukasev rom al kol goyim Hashem al hashamayim kivaydoi Hashem is out of reach. Avol Yisrael choishvim oisai kadavar gadol. Klal Yisrael looks at Hashem. The relationship is we recognize Hashem's exaltedness, but he is not out of reach. We have the ability to connect, to have a relationship with Hashem. Everyone can have a relationship according to his value, according to his worth. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu oversees, intervenes with every single living creature according to their level. Hashem b'tzion gadol kama. That refers to the Jewish people, but with relation to the Amim, v'rom hu al kol Amim. V'hinei, Hashem itaratzma hi b'b'chinas rom, ki asechul mechayv sherom sherom al ramim lo yashpil hashkich al bir shafol lo kumah adam. According to human logic, you would assume that Hashem would not lower himself to have anything to do with a human being. We know from experience that it's not so, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does allow himself to have a relationship with humanity.
And an involvement.
Involvement.
You know what occurs to me, that you might be thinking that Christianity requires an intermediary.
Interesting. Okay, I don't know. I'm not a bucky in
the
theology.
God is out of reach, pretty much. It's necessary to have him in an intermediary.
Well, like also we have such a principle. You have a rebbe, you have a navi.
But that's not the same.
Obviously, every person can daven to Hashem. Okay, but you know, you have to remember, Christianity was established by Jews.
And not all Christians are like that. But I don't know, just a thought that occurred to me that might be partly this thing.
Who made Christianity? Some Jews who are Eisvars. That's really the truth. In any event, okay, you're right. Okay, so b'chol zos yilam deder ha'ni sem shu b'kines kodol v'ashka chasi mispashedes akol b'ruyo ki v'yichud al yiri Hashem v'choyish v'yishmo specifically upon those who fear Hashem shehu dobek imochem tam v'zibu b'ba masha shomeo tfilas ha'sadikim Hashem listens to the prayer of tzadikim v'yatzilim b'kol tzor v'zedover ha'nir l'ayin v'zeshama gadol Hashem iti. Now we can appreciate what it says gadol Hashem iti b'hechruch tes taskimu iti mitzad shemire me'hanogosa shehu b'b'chines kodol. David is saying to Klal Yisrael that you shall praise Hashem E.T. because I'm one of the team, I'm one of you, and we anyone who is a Jew can appreciate that Kadosh Baruch Hu is Godol. We can have a relationship with Him. He is exalted, but yet He provides access. Hagam, even though...
Who explains the two words here? Gadol Hashem E.T. Gadol Hashem E.T.
Unuroy Mima is beyond reach. Above and beyond. Above and beyond. Hagam, he's adding a word.
Because only his name can be
my own
name.
But you see, the Malbim is adding a word into the pasuk. He's saying, Gadlu l'Hashem iti Hagam shenuroy Mima shemo. Although that Hashem at first glance and logically is above and beyond, and it is impossible for a person to have any connection to Hashem. Hagam, Shaniroy Mashemo, Hashem's name is Rum. Yet, listen to me. You know that Klal Yisrael has the ability to connect to Hashem in the category, in the realm of Godol, which is Hashem is exalted, but there is a technique, there is an opening for a human being to have a personal relationship. He's adding in these words over here. Hagam, v'zeu sh'amar gadlu l'Hashem iti, behechreach, you have no choice but taskimu to agree, iti, with me, that mitzad hanire mehan hagoso shu b'b'chinas gadol. Every Jew knows deep down that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present and you can communicate with Him and you can influence Hashem to do things in your favor. Hagam, even though theoretically on paper and in relation to the world at large, it's impossible. Hashem is Niroi Mimo. Hagam Shem Niroi Mimo Shmo Yachtov.
We recognize them both. We say both. Dominating, we acknowledge them both.
Right, even now the word Yachtov is a little bit out of place over here. Shani askim imochem sheshmo mitzad and mitasa shehu miroimam mikol ha'mastagim mikol rayon. Bechozo is mechroach manu lahodashu bebechinas kadol bebash niru la'ayin. Period. Okay. So that's the case. This is the this var stand.
Switch to the plural over here. So now we say it together.
Okay. All right.
But in the previous
subject,
it's been on the same
year. Okay, the basic yisoid here, it's very, very, very well established. There are two words. This is a classic Malbim. There are two words, Godol and Ram. Godol and Ram both acknowledge the exaltedness of Hashem. However, Godol has within it a connotation that it's within reach. There's a ladder. There is a staircase, there is an elevator, whatever you want, there's a way to get up there. There is a way to communicate. The word Ram is an expression which radiates with a connotation, Hashem is above and beyond, don't even try, don't go near. The Goyim, their relationship with Hashem is Begeder Ram. That if they are believers, they're not going to be able to have this relation. Klal Yisrael Asher Bochar Bonim Mikol Ha'amim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us the ability to connect with Him through which tool? Through the Torah. Through the Torah. Maybe that is why, according to the Malbim, that's why when we take out the Sefer Torah, we say, Gadlu l'Hashem iti. Even though, Unuroim Moshmo, even though I, Yachtav, I agree with you that although HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really be'etzim above and beyond, but through the tool, the Torah, What I am holding in my hand, when you take out a Sefer Torah, through this Sefer Torah, we now have the ability to transform Hashem's state of Ram to Hashem in our view as being Gadol. With the Torah, we're able to make that transition. The Goyim do not have the Torah. So by the Goyim, Hashem remains in the realm of Ram. But we have this Torah, and therefore, Gadol Hashem iti. And now we can go and we can transform the Ram to Gadol, which means we can connect to HaKadosh Baruch.
It's amazing that Abraham, the same kind of thing.
Ram, interesting. Av of Aram, Av of Kol Ha'ilam. So you say, they want to say that in the name of Avraham, this word Ram, and Ram means above and beyond. So what did Hashem do? Hashem gave him the letter Hey Avram, Av, Avraham. So the hey is down. I don't know. The word Avraham has the word Ram in it. You're right. It's exalted above and beyond. How that relates to the word Galu, I don't know. I hear what you're saying. I don't know. Okay, let's go further. Let's go to Pasuk Hey. Pasuk Hey says Drashli. We did that. That Pasuk we already did. Okay, now we're going to go to Pasuk. Let's move forward. We have to move forward a little bit. Let's go to Pasuk Vav. Habitu Elav, the letter Hey. We're going to learn to the Aleph base. Habitu Elav Vinaharu. Habitu means to gaze Elav Vinaharu. Vinaharu can have many different translations. According to the Mesilat Seel, it says is Inyan Ho'ora, be enlightened. Light. Gaze at Hashem Vinaharu and light up. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he came down from Mishraim for 40 days, for 120 days, they were the Yiru Migeshes Elav Ki Koran or Panav. Moshe's face radiated. Where did he get that radiation from? Okay, so different Mori Chazal, but basically the fact that Moshe was in Shemayim, in the presence of Hashem, Moshe was Mabit. He was Mabit at the Shekhinah, and it rubbed off on him. He absorbed the radiance of the Shekhinah, and now when Moshe looked at the Jewish people, he glowed. So every person is able to get a glow. Every person is able to step in the shoes of Moshe Rabbeinu and likewise radiate. Habitu, we have a meter, mark, we have a meter. Every person who walks in, does this person have radiation? Radiation coming from this person's panim. They actually do that. They have people, whatever. People. Indian.
Radiance.
No, but I'm saying it's radiance and radiation are related. People, whatever. Yes, you don't see it. Hibitu. He didn't say the word correctly. Hibitu with the chirik. Hibitu elav. Gaze at him. Vinohoru. By gazing at Hashem, that will cause Hashem's luminance. What a word do you want me to say? Hashem's radiance? What's the right word, Rabbi Chaim? Hashem's glow, Hashem's light will be absorbed within man, and man will then thus, when he will roam the streets, he will also shine. Ufneim al yechparu, and your face should not be put to shame. Now this is the principle of boishes panim. Okay, this is the yechparu. Yechparu means inyan klima. What is the difference between the word boishes and klima? Okay, we say over and over davening l'cho Hashem atztaka v'lanu boishes hapanim. And here we have a different expression. Ufnehem al. All right, someone over here.
Find a way to unlock this.
Some very violent. Calm down. What? Sometimes it's the resh yechrafuch cherpa. 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 Okay, very good. That's a good word to iterate.
Chorev is winter. It's also the same kind of thing. It's gloomy.
Okay, choyrev. Okay, that's another word. Cherpa is shame, and Yechparu, you're saying very good over here. The letters are interchanged. Okay, so the word Yechparu. Interchange. Keves, Kesef. Right? There's the word Keves and the word Kesef. Thank you very much. Mr. Silver, thank you for being the Poseach Shorim. Psicha. You got Psicha.
Yeah, practice.
Okay. No, I tell you, I love one of my favorite stories. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman was with Rabbi Yashiv, Zechet Tzag Levracha. No, Yashiv, Shlomo Zalman Arbach. You know, you ever see these kids that go on the bus in the morning? So in Eretz Yisrael, so sometimes they have what's called an escort. They call it an escort. Is that what it's called? That's a very dirty word in America.
They use that here too.
They use the word of
a matron.
On the bus, there's the driver. There's the driver, and then sometimes they have another person, the monitor, and basically they have little children. They pick up the kids. They open the door. The job of the monitor is to open the door. Is to bring the kids on. To take the kid from the street, you know, and pick him up, bring him onto the bus, and put him down in the seat, put on a seatbelt. I actually saw Eretz Yisrael, the roads there up and down. You know what it's like. So they actually monitor. So there was a din Torah between the driver and the man. They went to Rosh Hashanah Zalman Arbach as who is responsible to open the door. So the driver said, it's my job to drive the bus. It's not my job to open the door. Okay, not an electronic door. The old days, these are heavy doors on the bus. It takes a lot of work to open and close the door every single time. The monitor said, my job is to go get off the bus, pick up the kid, bring him on the bus, strap him in. I can't go open and close the door the whole time. It's hard work. That's the job of the driver. So whose job is it to open and close the door? So they went to the interior to Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Arbach. So Shlomo Zalman Arbach says, you know, if it was Ni'ila, if you were coming here, it was Yom Kippur, and it was Ni'ila, would you be fighting? Each one of you doesn't want to do it. Each one is coming to get rid of this. Would you be fighting? Now, who has to open up the Aron HaKodesh? Who gets psicha? Your dispute would be each one would be fighting. I want psicha for Ni'ila. And here you're fighting. Each one is fighting who should not do psicha. So he said, Rosh Hashanah says, let me tell you a little secret. Opening the door to bring onto the bus a tinoik, the tinoik is shel beis rabban to learn Torah. Is a million times more chashev than opening the Aron on Yom Kippur and Be'ez Ni'ilah. Ni'ilah, you open the Aron, no. If you don't open the Aron, don't worry, the tefillos go to the same place. Here you're opening the door to bring a child to learn Torah. Do you know how chashev this is? So they came back the next day, they were fighting who has the schus to open the door. Okay, it's all a matter of perspective. Okay, right, over here we have, it says over here, look at Hashem, v'nohar be enlightened, ufneim, and your face is al, they should not be yech paru. Let's read another pasuk, another two psukim, the page, ze oni, the zayin. Now, by the way, what happened to the vav? Where's the vav? Oh, ufneim. Okay, this is one of the big mysteries of this mizmar. The Vav, every time you have the Aleph Beis, you always get into trouble. Whenever you have the Aleph Beis, there's always something that doesn't fit. Okay? Like in Ashrei, what happened to the Nun? The Nun disappeared. Soymech Hashem l'chol hanoiflim. You have to come with the Nun. In Megillas Eicha, what happened? The Ayin and the Pei are interchanged. And that begs the question, how do you know the order of the Aleph Beis? How do we know? How do we really know what the correct order of the Aleph Beis is? If every time we have an Aleph Beis in Tanakh, there's always something wrong. There's always something that doesn't make sense. Yeah. So maybe the order of the Aleph Beis is that the Ayin comes, the Pei comes before the Ayin.
Wouldn't that be Moshe Mitzvah?
So you just said the answer. You said the answer.
This one has this. This one has that. So
there's always got to be an answer for something that's off. There's, like in this case, where's the vav? Oh, you have yeah. Ufineim. Come on, ufineim. The vav. That's only a prefix. That's not a real vav. That's not part of the shorish. I mean, you know what's going on over here. What's going on? This is not satisfactory to go say, ufin the vav is ufineim. There's always an answer, but the questions are always better than the answers. That's life. The questions are always better than the answers. So how do you talk? Do you know? How do you know that the correct order of the Aleph Beis is that it's a Vav to begin with? Maybe there is no Vav. How do you know then the Aleph Beis that the Pei, most, there are five Perakim in Eicha. The last one is not according to the Aleph Beis. The other four have the Aleph Beis and
one of them is tripled.
And one time, only one of the times that you have the Aleph Beis is the Aleph Beis in the correct order. In order to remind us what is the correct order of the Aleph Beis? Why don't you teach the opposite? Why don't you say that if the majority of Megillas Eicha is the Pei, comes before the Ayin, that's the correct order. And one time for a Drasha, it's the other way around. How do you know? So Mr. Marillis said the answer. It's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. It's incredible. Something that is so basic, so elementary, you really cannot prove it. There is no proof that the order of the Aleph Beis is the way we have it presented. You can't prove it. And I was very embarrassed. I had a whole fight with this kid. I didn't know. I don't know the Aleph Beis. I had a little child. I asked, what comes first, the Beis or the Veis? The one that have the dots is the Chof and the Kof. Beis, Veis. What are the dots? What are the dots? Tough and soft. So I don't know why. Shin and Sin. So I don't know why. I don't know why in my mind I was thoroughly convinced that the vase comes before the base. The one without the dot comes before the dot. And I was mamish fighting with a 3-year-old in front of a whole family of Talmidei Chachamim. I said, well, I guess, like, what come to tell me? Aleph, Beis, Veis. I said, no, it's Aleph, Veis, Beis. I don't know. I don't even know the Aleph Beis. That's so embarrassing. And this little kid was saying, no, you're wrong. It's Aleph, Beis with the dot, and then is Veis. What do you say? He's the Koil over here. We have a Koil of advanced Talmudic scholars here. A Baruch. Who's right, the child or me? The child, right? First.
Reuven finds his designs on his share to obtain
base. Base first. And then? Base. Then vase. The dot comes first. Aleph, base. In the Seder of teaching the Aleph base to children, they teach them the Gushin, base with the dot, and then they teach vase. Aleph, Beis, Veis, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav, right?
No.
Aleph, Beis, Veis. Aleph, Beis, Bet. Bet. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, you don't have these problems. You go back to seminary, Shana Bet. I'm going back for Shana Bet. Bet. Only the Litvaks in America, they say Beis. They look at us like we're Gamash and Mars. Beis. What's a Beis? It's Bet. Bet. Okay, so there is a Seder. Now, I mean, there is a Seder, obviously, and there must be significance even in the Degushin, which one comes first. How do you know it? How do you know? Show me. Prove it. Is there... We can't prove it. It's Mesorah. Pure Messiah. Halacha l'moshe Sinai. Bereshis. Okay, but it didn't start with an Aleph. It didn't start with an Aleph. How do you know? How do you know that it's a... Okay. But it's a very important thing. Also, over here, this Mizmar is very problematic. It's very problematic because there is no Vav. The Vav disappeared. And if you want to go say the word, the Vav is the word He bitu a love vi noharu ufinehem al yechparu. Come on, that's not a real vav. That's a prefix. Okay, that's not satisfying. There are two different vavs, by the way. There's vi and u.
He would throw the whole rhythm off.
It's ve, that's a vav, that's at least a vav sound. U, u fineyam is not even a vav sound.
What do we do in the Al-Khed?
Right, it's true, exactly, right, exactly. Vihirshani, exactly. They're also vihirshani. So the same thing, so they couldn't come up, Chazal could not come up with a word for the letter Vav, for one of the Chatoim. I know they say Drosh, very nice Drosh, that the Vav represents, in addition, there's a chait of just doing more. Ribui b'shi'urin. Okay, all of the words in the Vidui, Ashamnu, Boganu, Gozalnu, Dibarnu Dofi, Hevinu, all of those words are chatoim in their own right. Vihirshanu, being a Rasha, that's not a specific type of chait, that's a general description of an Avera, and the focus is the Vav, because it means we were marbe b'shi'urin. We were not satisfied with just doing it the minimum shi'ur. More, we added. Again, that's drush. That's not pshat. And the question is still greater. The question still remains. There really is no word in the vidui for the letter vav. Just like here in this mizmar, there is no, and I've yet to hear a good answer why the letter vav is omitted. Let's see what it says over here in Tzaras. Okay, ze ani. So there we are. Habitu eleven harof neim al yichpar. Let's read pasuk zayin. Ze ani kara. This ani. Vidui. You want to say vidui? Vidui is confession. The vav. Is that part of the sharish? Hoida. Is the word? Is the vav a part of the sharish of vidui? You say vidui. Is the vav part of the shemesh of the word vidui? Is the word vidui really hoidah? And it's not even really part of the word. That's not even part of the real shemesh of confession. It's hoidah. Hoidah is confession. Hoidah means many things. It means give thanks. It's an expression of admission. Hoidah. When we refer to it in a certain grammatical form, the hey turns into of vav, but is that the real essence, the root of the word confession? I do not know. Let's go further here. First, let's read word. Ze ani kara, this poor man calls out. Vahashem shomea, and Hashem listens. Umikol tsoroisav hoshio, and from all of his difficulties, Hashem saves him. We have to see what this means. Choine malach Hashem saviv lireov, kama. It's very interesting over here that you have over here one word, one word is a whole expression. Hashem is choynehi in camps. The Malach Hashem, now notice it should be Malachov, because it says Saviv li re'ov, around those who fear him. Only one Malach? Mayor Apple to have came late today. You're not going to get an apple. You're not going to, someone won the lottery? Someone won? $880 million.
My whole family was there. Everyone's fine. Baruch Hashem. I won
$1 billion.
Well, no one won last night.
$1,020,000,000.
Okay. Aboy Sai.
You wait 3 days and you get an increase of $300 million.
Makes no sense that you give anyone close to 1,000 that you give them $1 million.
All right, let's.
You get 5 bonus, right? You get a million. Right.
Not too many. Right.
You get a couple of 1,000.
Okay, we'll have a sheer later on the lottery. First, you have to have a dream. First, the sheer now is on the dream, and later we'll learn about.
The yard side of Zev Jabotinsky. It's also the yard side of Ashlaga Ground Street.
Wow, I get your name.
It's
going
to
be a
look for. Why don't you bring them here to the sheer instead of tell us about it? Let's go find it. Ze v'Hashem v'ashchoyne malach Hashem saviv li re'ov v'yichalitzem. Notice Hashem is a shalsheles. Okay, saviv li re'ov, around is those who fear him, v'yichalitzem, and Hashem, he saves them. V'yichalitzem is he released, to release. The word chalitza. Chalitza's ha-no'al. to loosen the straps. Hashem releases them from their trouble. Let's see the Mefarshim through these three psukim. Pasuk Vav in the Mitzudos David, on page 296. He be to a love, liftoyach boy. This is a command. David over here is issuing a command. He be to everyone listening to my mizmar, look, gaze at Hashem. For what purpose? Not just to look. It's liftoyach boy. This is very interesting because we know that the Na'arei Hashem at Har Sinai, they looked at Hashem and they ate. And Hashem at that time did not punish them. Hashem did not want to go be ma'arv by Har Sinai. He did not want to be ma'arv of the Siman. He waited until a later time. Who was one who looked? Was Nadav Aviu? The Atzili Ha'am. I don't remember. I remember who the Na'arei B'nei Yisrael, they looked, they gazed, and it says there in Rashi that Hashem was not happy with this, and Hashem did not want to share the Simcha, so Hashem waited for a later time. There are different periods of time when Rahman al-Islam, people, whatever it was, for a later period of time. That is a very fascinating pasuk because we know that at the time of the Chanukas HaMishkan, Hashem did not tolerate any Aveira because Nodav Va'avihu, they entered Lifnai V'Lifnim on the first day of the Chanukas HaMishkan, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and they offered an Eish Asher Lo Tzivo Isam Elokim, and they died. Why is it then that when it came to the Chanukas HaMishkan, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was he intolerant? He did not tolerate an Avera. He did not tolerate an Avera, even though it was the happiest day for Klal Yisrael, whereas at Har Sinai, which was equally the day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu selected us, Asher Bochar Banu. So this is a question that has to be answered, and you're giving one answer. There are many, but this is a very big topic. How is it at the time of Matan Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael, and there were people that were not behaving, so they got to pay us. The Atzilei, the Na'arei, that says Na'arei Atzilei, the young people, they looked at Hashem and they ate, which Rashi says was disrespectful. You don't look at Hashem and eat. There's a certain yiras haroinimus that you should feel when you're seeing Hashem. So Hashem's okay. You know what? You didn't behave, but today is such a wonderful day. I'm giving the Torah to Klal Yisrael. This is the day we've been waiting for. Asher Bochar Banu Mikol Ha'amim. So you know what? We'll delay any issue, any aveir. Yet when it came to the Chanukas HaMishkan, which also was a very special day, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to finally rest His divine presence permanently in this world, there Hashem was intolerant of any, even though it was the happiest day. So Rav Kalman gave one answer. One answer is that when it came to Mount Torah, it was a public event. The entire world was watching. The whole world was watching. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order to not embarrass Klal Yisrael with a tzara, Hashem delayed. However, when it came to the Mishkan, that was a private matter. There was no heads of state that came to participate in the Chanukas HaMishkan. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu set the tone that there's no excuse. There's no excuse for nonsense. And it was that's Rav Kalman is giving that very answer. A very beautiful answer. Okay. What? He says that. He say Rashi doesn't address. I don't think Rashi addressed this question. Okay, but this is something. There's a contradiction. There's a contradiction. HaKadosh Baruch Hu being tolerant of Avera at a very special time. Now over here, and we're not going. That's not our topic. Over here, there's something that is very interesting. Hibitu doesn't mean to look for your own pleasure. It means to here. Hibitu means liftoyach boy, to have faith in Hashem. Then at Silei B'nai Yisrael, the young nobles, when they looked at Hashem and they ate, the looking at Hashem was not, or looking at the Shechina, it was not a habata, a gaze, to have faith, to learn. What's the proof? Because they were eating. So they were looking for their own enjoyment. We have that, the Gemara talks about going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The workers who needed to go into Kodesh HaKadoshim, there was always a warning. Don't look for your own pleasure. When you look, you're looking just for a purpose. Here, Mitsudai Stub very carefully is telling you, when it says here, look at Hashem. Okay, there are four people who entered the paradise, who entered into, and they saw Hashem. Three of them did not come out okay. Only Rabbi Akiva came out, survived. When you look, be very careful what the purpose of what you're looking. Are you looking for your own hana, or are you looking in order to learn, to gain insight in how to live your life? The Mitsudai stuff, it says, don't just look for your own pleasure and understanding Hashem. Live toyach boit, have faith in Hashem. Vinoharu, v'yavo aleichem he'ora u'seshua. It will then come upon you when you look at Hashem, to have faith in Him, it will come upon you enlightenment. Okay, al yech paru ki hashoyel mo ve'ein noisnim lo yech par v'yikolem. So here he's saying a very interesting translation of the word of yech par. We have to find the difference between the word boshes and cherpa. Cherpa is when you make a request. So we said that before. Kalman said before is cherpa. The resh is first, and here it's yech paru, which he learns to be the same exact thing as the word of cherpa when the resh would come before the pay. But what does it mean? He's saying over here what it means is cherpa is when you ask, you make a request, and you are denied. Boshes is when you are under attack, when there's an accusation. L'cho Hashem atztocho v'lanu boshes aponim. We are big, there is a mekatrek that says this person has done an aver. And we say, you're right, we are guilty. We declare our guilt. We declare our guilt that it's shameful. We have not made any request. We are under attack. The Mekatrek is attacking us, and we say, you're right, Chotanu, that's called Boshes. Cherpa is when we go to a rich man and we say, please, please, give us a gift, give us a donation. And he says, no. And you walk out, and you're embarrassed. I made a request, and my request was denied. It's a different sensation. It's a different emotion, a different feeling when you feel that you deserve something and you make a request and your request has been denied. You humiliate it. I made a request because I feel that I deserve. And for me to be denied, it's humiliating. That's called cherpa. Boshes is not where you make a request. It's where someone brings upon you shame. And you're caught. Boishes ganov ki yimotze. Chazal's expression. When the ganov is caught, he's caught red-handed. What does he experience? He doesn't experience cherpa. He experiences boishes because he has been discovered. So here it says, hibitu elo vinoharu, look at Hashem. Basically, look to Hashem for support, for help, and basically, you're making a request. When you are gazing at Hashem, in essence, you're asking Hashem for help, and by doing so, you will be enlightened. Hashem will give you what you need. Ufinehem al yechparu, and your partner will not be put to shame, being denied. If you will sincerely make a request, Hashem will give you that what you want, and you will not be denied, and not be denied will not result in cherpa. Next mitzvah is ze oni kora, kishze hakori hu oni umuchno. Oni here does not mean poor. Oni here means humility. It means Lechem oni. Poor man's bread, it means humility. It means lechem, what do you mean? Narrow, painful. It means meek. Meek, it means humility. And oni here means the mida of a person who's machnia himself. He humbles himself. Then Oz Hashem Shomea Vayichalitzeim Choyne Malach Hashem Hashem Choyne Hashem Parks. Hashem always has parking, even in Brooklyn. Hashem can find parking. Hashem parks. Now what's straight?
He has the power of tzimtzum.
Excellent.
He has the right
Hashem has the power of tzimtzum. Shaka, he can find into any spot. Choyne Malach. Now Hashem parks his Malach. Notice one malach can be 360 degrees. That's a chiddush, because there's a kind of, the pasuk over here. If you were writing this pasuk, you would say choyne malachov malachei Hashem choyne malachei Hashem saviv luyav. If you say the word saviv means you can't be if you're on the east, you're not on the west. If you're on the west, you're not on the east and south. You can't be in all places. In the world of spirituality, one malach can envelop you. The rules of nature and science do not apply to the spiritual beings. Choyneh, to encamp, the malach Hashem, one malach. Saviv, on all sides. Lireyav, around those that fear him, vayichal tzeim, yotzi'im bishlichusoy shel mokoyim, he will release him from his problems through the agency of Hashem. Let's see Rashi. Rashi was bidu elav. Kol osam shabidu elav mitoch sarasam. Although, so he learns over here. I translate this as a command. He bitu elav vinoharu and be enlightened. Ufnehem and thus your faces, al will not. Okay, that's not what Rashi says. Rashi says even though it appears to be in the future tense as a command, you have to know the grammar inside out to understand this in more depth. But Rashi, for some reason over here, is putting this in the past tense. Kol oisam shebitu elav mitoch tzarasam v'naharu he'iru f'nehem. They were enlightened. Rashi here, for some reason, reads this in the past tense. Look back in history and study history. All those individuals that put their faith in Hashem, Hashem at the end always saved them. They were enlightened. V'naharu he'iru p'nehem yechparu yisbaishu. You see, this is something very interesting. The same principle. Here you have the two different words, the levana and the chama. The levana experienced cherpa. Why? Because the levana made a request. The levana said, "It's not proper." Ein shnei melachim misham shebekeser echad. So therefore, one of us has to go. So who should go? If the Levan is making the request, the son should be diminished. Hashem says, no, your request has not been granted. Adarabba, you diminish yourself. So the Levan brought shame upon itself. It brought shame upon itself. The Chama, Uvoisha Chama, in history, the son stopped. Occasionally, we have the son stopping. The sun was stopped. When did the sun stop? In time of
the
shame
was humiliation.
So we explain. There are two different terms here. There's a term called cherpa and a term called busha. In this context, it appears there's a pattern. The pattern is whenever a being, whether it's a person or a heavenly body, makes a request and the request is denied, the object who made the request feels humiliated. That term is called rejection. Fine. Rejection, no. So fine, rejection. Fine. So maybe you want to say that it's not called humiliation, it's called rejection. Okay, fine. So let's use that term.
It's the same feeling.
Okay. But it's called, you're saying that in English, the proper emotion is called rejection. I accept. Excellent. So cherpa would thus be translated as rejection. Busha is where you're walking down the street, you're minding your own business, and someone comes and takes a cup of orange juice in public and just pours it over your head and humiliates you in public. Did I ask for this? Did I bring this upon myself? I didn't bring. Someone in public comes over and he pours a bottle of orange juice over my head. What did I do to deserve this humiliation? Nothing. When someone brings it upon you, that is called busha. When you bring it upon yourself, that's called cherpa. So Mr. Marillis, you're saying that in English, the proper word for bringing humiliation upon yourself is really rejection. And that rejection has a frustrating feeling. It's a sad feeling, which is defined in English with the word rejection. And when you did not bring it upon yourself, but someone brought this that cousin, a feeling upon you, that is called busha. Busha in Hebrew. And in English, yes, you say it's humiliation.
Embarrassment,
humiliation, versus rejection. Cherpa versus busha. The son in Tanakh experienced busha. When did it experience busha? Doim b'shemesh, doim b'shemesh, doim Yoshua, he stopped the sun. The other time was shemesh begivon doim. Shemesh and Givon doim, stop. That's humiliating. That the son is told, good morning, how are you? When the son is told to stop, that's humiliating. The son is on a mission and it's now experiencing humiliation. So the son experienced in Tanakh busha, whereas the Levana experienced cherpa, because the son, the moon, made a request. Okay, that's okay. It also stopped. But the primary example is where the son beginning my relations, the shnei hamoris hagadolim. Anyway, this context over here is referring to a different thing altogether. Right? That I'm just making a drush over here. These two words. Okay, let's see over here. Let's take a look over here at the Likutei Shas on the other page 297, choyne. Malach Hashem Saviv Liray of Aichal Tzeim. Amar Liray of Kanel Shmuel. My the Hayv Cholz. On the page 297 on the bottom. Page 297 on the bottom. The Likutei Shas. Amar Lei. Rav Kanel Shmuel. My the Hay. The Cholz and Alam Yal Ragloi. Mishlafu. How do you know that when it says the word the Cholz? We're coming back to the final word. The Cholz. Cholz means to release, to loosen. Loosen the shoe from the foot of the Yavam. How do you know that it means to remove? Mishlaf means to pull off. Dechsev, v'chiltzu es ho'avodim asher bohen hanoga. It says this by tzoras. The nige botim. It says there's a stone, and the stone has a nega. That stone has to be removed from the bais. So in the word, the term that the Torah uses to referred to removal is the word v'chilitzu, the same exact word that it says by v'cholitzu na'aloi. Frak the Gemara de'ema zeru zehu. Maybe it means not to release, it means to strengthen. Okay? To strengthen. Chilutz atzmos. Right? We say that chilutz atzmos, which we like to translate, well, this is not for now. We like to translate the strengthening of the bones. The bones shall be firmly inserted in their sockets. Okay, yeah, the worst thing is to have loose bones. The bones have to be like Goldilocks. Not too tight and not too loose.
But to have flexibility.
Flexibility. But simply there are sockets, and Rahman al-Sanam, when the bones are too loose in their joints, that's a big problem. The bones have to be firmly inserted in their sockets. And that's the simple reading translation of the word chilutz atzmos, the strengthening of the bones. What does it mean the bones are strengthened? Okay, maybe it means it's not cracked. The bone, the marrow in the bones are operating optimal. Atzmos, what does atzmos mean?
No, but you can't take that literally. Bones are bones.
Health. This is an expression that it will say
really
the limbs. Okay, so it's an expression. Yeah, but if you ask the average person, what does it mean when you see on Rosh Chodesh? Chilutz atzmos. Good health.
Physical fitness.
So why do you describe...
Is that a modern term for exercise?
No, that. Yeah, I don't. Chilutz atzamos means exercise. Okay, but what do we see? We see that the word in our liturgy, chilutz means zeruz. Okay, so now we hear in this chazal, the Gemara says over here they're taking this word vayechalutzim. Now when we learn the pasuk, I translate the word this is the way that it says in the Mitzudas David. I translate the word based upon the Mitzudas David is the word vayechalutzim is to release, to remove what? To remove the tzara, or extract the person from the tzara. Hashem sends a malach. And the Malach's mission is to save the person,
to extricate him
from his tzara. Right. And he has a whole entourage that's going to carefully surround him as they extricate him from his difficult matzav.
Right.
So I translated the word based exactly the same way the word is used in by Chalitzas HaNoal, release the shoe, and by Nigoyim. And we move the stones from the building. The Chazal says it's not the Pshat. The Chazal disagree with the Mitzudah started. How could that be? They only existed, Chazal, 2,000 years before the Mitzudah started, and they disagree with what he says. And they say the word Lechiltzu means to strengthen. They learn Vayechalitzim. Hashem dispatches his angel, and the angel surrounds man, and the angel gives strength. And it strengthens this person. So according to the Chazal's translation, which is the opposite of what it says in the Mitzvot David, the word Vayechalitzim means chizuk, strengthening. And thus, like the way, that's actually the way we use it in the Birchas Rosh Chodesh, of chilutz atzama, strengthening of the bones. So therefore, now that we have a pasuk that says the word Vayechalitzim means to strengthen, maybe when it says by the case of the of the Yavama, if a man does not want to do yid, does not want to marry the woman, so the woman, instead of the woman, like when we do halacha lemaisa, taking off his shoe, maybe what the woman should do is she should put on his shoes, she should strengthen it, she should take the shoes and put the shoes on the man. Maybe that's what the part. How do you know that the mitzvah of the cholitza nala mial ragloi is the way we do it, is where the woman comes along and undoes the shoe straps and removes the shoe? Maybe when it says in the Torah it means she should put his shoes on and tie the straps. Maybe that's what it means. And in fact, what?
That would be a sign of marriage.
No, that would be a sign of divorce. Why? Because what? I'll prove it to you. Sefer Chassidim. I'm sure everyone here does it. Everyone's wife, I'm sure, does this. No question about this. I have no doubt in my mind that when you come home, it says in the Sefer Chassidim, when a man comes home, he sits down, and the wife says, "My dear husband, I have missed you. How have you been? I haven't seen you." And the wife, she opens up the shoe straps and takes off his shoes and provides, takes off his shoes as an act of submission and humility to her husband.
Me too.
Right? So you see that taking off the shoes of your husband is an expression of endearment, of chiba.
What do you do under the chuppah?
Under the chuppah?
You go around.
You smash, you take your foot and you break the glass. You step, no jokes now. But what do you see? Taking off someone's shoes is an expression of submission. You're my master. You are my master. I want you to feel comfortable. So let me make you feel comfortable. I'll take off your shoes. So if you would work with that approach, if you would then, let's say you would put on someone's shoes, you're basically saying, get lost. Get out of here. Get out of the house. I don't want to see you. Don't sit around here without your slippers. Get out of the house. And in order to get out of the house, you need to put on shoes. Hear the car keys. Hear the car. Go drive yourself somewhere. Go drive far, far away. Get out of here. You put on someone's shoes, you're basically telling them, get lost. This man refuses to Du Yibam. He refuses to marry the Almana to rebuild the home of his brother. So she says, you're a bad person, get lost. And she goes, and to, as an expression of telling him to get lost, she puts on his shoes. Leave. I want to break the Zika. I want to sever the connection that we have. When a man dies, he leaves over an almana, there's a bond. You learn Masech Yevamos, Zika. There's an automatic bond connecting the almana with the brother, with the brother of the mace, with her brother-in-law. Now he says, oh, I'm not going to marry you. I'm not going to go further. Now we're not going to have children. We're not going to proceed in rebuilding the home of my brother. I don't want to know from you. You don't want to know from me. I don't want to know from you. Get lost. And she puts on his shoes, tightens those shoe straps as a way of saying leave. So you can learn the mitzvah of chalitza like this or like this. The way halacha l'maisa, the chalitza is how, what's chalitza? You don't want to marry me. You're a good for nothing. You're a good for nothing. You don't deserve shoes. You don't even deserve to wear shoes. Shoes is the most basic element in life. Sha'asali kol tzarki. You're not a good person. You don't even deserve to wear shoes. She takes off his shoes as an act, seemingly of humiliation. Who says v'chol tzonalo mi'al raglo is the technique to sever the zika? Maybe the technique to sever the zika is she should put on his shoes. It says the word v'cholitza. V'cholitza na'alo.
So that's it.
You're coming to chat me with TikTok? I hear what you're saying. I hear. We'll find the solution. Like someone says, in the conversation, someone says, I told this person, he's a very good person. They were talking about Tisha B'Av, this Mashiach. So maybe you're Mashiach. Maybe. So he says, I can't be Mashiach. I'm a Levi. Mashiach has to come from Yehuda. So the Sil says, that's the only kasha we're going to have on Mashiach. There are a lot of kashas we have on Mashiach. Don't worry, you'll be Mashiach. And the same way we have a lot of questions to ask Mashiach, so no, another kasha. How could Mashiach be a Levi? Don't worry about it. I hear the question. Me'al Raglo. The Gemara obviously didn't get to that question. The Gemara, okay, I don't know. We have to analyze. I don't know the grammar, but the Gemara is saying, who says the word v'cholitza na'aloi means to release? Maybe it means to strengthen. And the proof is this very pasuk: Choyne malach Hashem saviv li'reyav v'yichalitzeim, and Hashem strengthens his pious ones, the ones that fear him. That's how Chazal learned from the pasuk. So you learn incidentally how Chazal understood the translation, which is not the way the Mitzvot David said it. Let's go further in Chazal, on page 297.
What Chazal means, why do you learn from there, learn from here?
It says Zeruze. It says Zeruze. It means to strengthen, not to release. The Eima Zeruze. This is the Gemara. The Gemara's words are ve'ema. Maybe when it says the word v'cholitza na'aloi, it means to strengthen, to tighten the straps, not to release the straps. Tikun, and the editor added the word zeruze, means tikunu. How do you know it means? Choyne malach Hashem sevelui v'aychalotzeim. Mashma loshon tikun v'hachlofas koyach, a renewal of strength. The imkain gam kanu loshem nilasa sandal means nilasa sandal. It means to tie the shoe, not to remove the shoe. V'loy. So the Gemara is not the pshat. Perish apostiku b'schar yirei av yichalitzeim. So the Gemara says no. You're learning. The Gemara answers this question. You're not translating the words correctly. The translation of the word yichalitzeim is the translation as it says in the Mitzudos David. It means release. The word chalitza means one thing only. Vayichalitzeim in this pasuk means choyne malach Hashem sevelu'yav vayichalitzeim, and Hashem releases the tzaddik from his tzara. So that's how the Gemara answers, like what you Rav Kahn, what you're saying, that's how the Gemara answers, answer, therefore it means the same exact thing as the previous thing, previous thing. Okay, now let's go, now you have to still understand that how then do we make sense of, how then do we make sense of what it says in the Nusach HaTfilah? In the Nusach HaTfilah we say, Chilutz Atzamois, and there, everyone, all the translators, they translate it means the strengthening of the bones. So it's not a question, because like we said, it's all a matter of grammar. How the vowels are presented. Yishrosh, yisharesh. Chalitza means to loosen. Here also, vayichalitze means to loosen, to release. But when you vowelize it, chilutz, then it goes, it swivels 180 degrees and it can mean indeed to strengthen. I know someone, he told me, he says, chilutz atzamos, he claimed to mean, it means the bone should be loose. Like you said, exercise. When you exercise, that causes the bones to be loosened, the muscles are stretched. There is a loosening of the limbs, which is healthy. Obviously, everything has balance. If it's too loose, it's no good. If it's too tight, it's no good. And sometimes the therapy and the exercise, the goal is to loosen the muscles, to stretch the muscles. The thing should not get too tight, too stiff.
I went once to a chiropractor, once only, and he gave me a book. The book is about
loosen.
He said, just read the book and do the exercises here, you'll never leave me. Like
to loosen.
Stretching.
It's like a rabbi, the woman comes to rabbi every time she has a shirk for her daughter. So the ghost of that is in a good shirk. So the rabbi, you know, he looks into the glass ball and he says, no, it's not a good shirk. It's not a good shirk. So she comes, she drives him crazy. She comes to the rabbi every single day. So he says, I'll tell you the secret. The secret is you take the names and you add up the gematrias, and if it's an even number, it's no good. If it's an odd number, you can do it yourself. Don't drive me crazy. Don't come here and drive me crazy every day. I'll teach you the secret. How to do the gematrias, and you can do it yourself. You'll never need me again. You anyway don't give me a kvetel. Anyway don't give me any money, so you're wasting my time. Okay. Someone told me, a rabbi, someone told me this truth, says there's a woman used to call up this Svarah Sharaf on the phone, ask all these shilas, mamash, all these shilas. And he was very, he answered all the shilas, all these questions, the real Svarah Sharaf. So then one day she wanted to go and ask him something personal, a personal question. And she was like a very modern woman. And she dressed very well. Okay? So she knocks on the door. She had this relationship. She called her up 100 times in the last, whatever, 2 years. Knocks on the door. And she opens up the door. And the rabbi, the rabbi, he looks at her. He's mamish. She looks like $1 million. And he goes, Zona? Zona? Lech!
Wow.
Zona? Sometimes the phone is better. Don't always, you gotta know your customers. That's supposedly a true story. Okay, let's go further over here in the Mamori Chazal. Rabbi Eliezer, we're over here on page 200, 200, 297. Hashem protects you, the mezuzah, the tefillin, and the tzitzis. Three mitzvahs. If you're wearing tefillin on your head, you're wearing tzitzis around your body, and you're in a makom that has a mezuzah, in a shelter that has a mezuzah, you are surrounded with mitzvahs. And these mitzvahs are the Malach Hashem. These are the Malach Hashem, these three, you're protected. Next, Matzilin Misrefa B'Shabbos.
Who did the
what?
Who saved them?
Hashem.
Yeah, not the Malach.
So you're asking, you're touching upon a very tough question. The Malach is the agent of Hashem. It's the agent of Hashem. Hey, next, the translation of the Malach Hazor, Matzil, Mishav, Mishav, Tiksev, Masev, Vitik, Hatzil, Matzil, Avdi, Shiyesh, Besoch, and Bos. Nicho, the word says, Nicho, Hashem, Matzil, Tik, Hasev, Masev, Mishom, Yev, Shalot, Hadlo, Beloy, Atik, Avot, Tik, Tvillin, Imat, Tvillin, Madu, Aitilu. If Rachmon Litzon is a fire, so Chazal made a dispensation that you can go and you can carry, you can save these things in a special way. Pachos, you have to see the Gemara inside exactly how you have to save. You're not allowed to call Shabbos, but you can maybe matzil things from a fire in a way that, with a shinui, in a way that you don't violate Shabbos outright. Pachos, midal ramos, kalach hayad. And not only are you allowed, you're given this dispensation to save these the holy matters indirectly, where you're not mechal Shabbos midaraisa, where you do it indirectly, you can even do that for the tick, for the tefillin case. So the question is why, or the tefillin bag, why? You don't need the tefillin bag to save the tefillin. Just take the tefillin, carrying the tefillin bag, or we have, say the chatan chazal, they didn't have a cover. Today our tefillin, you put it into a box. They didn't have boxes. You put the tefillin into a bag. So you're allowed to save the bag also. Why? You don't need the bag. Just take the tefillin. When Chazal made a dispensation to metal for pachas, midalid amas, or klachayad, why they allow you to do this in tefillin bag also? So, but yet the halach is you can save the bag also. You're allowed to save the bag. The bag, it's Shabbos. You have to carry the tefillin in a rishus harabim.
Or even wear.
So where is another, over here, where it seems that you can't wear, why not wear it? I don't know why you can't wear it. That's another topic. That's another topic of the way you mess with lavush. But here it's saying maybe there's not enough time to wear it. I don't know. I don't know the answer. But here it's saying you can basically pick up the tefillin bag and carry it, kila'achayad, pachos, midalin amos. So you think that you're only allowed to save the ikor, not the tofel, not the bag. Here it says you're allowed to save even the bag. One more time, Rabbi, tik asev masev. Why? So I'll tik atzvilin and matzvilin madua. Rabbi Chagi, Rabbi Zera, Shama lo mehada. It's a pasuk. Chayne malach Hashem saviv liriyav vayichal etzem hachinami tefillin lihiyosam. Eitzel hatik, the tefillin, that there should be eitzel hatik matzilam. I don't know what this means. He's saying over a chiddush. I don't know. This is Yerushalmi. It's not a Bavli. I'm not familiar with this. But he's making a drasha that says there's something called saviv. Saviv. It's not just the ikar. There is an extension. Hashem encamps the Malach Hashem Saviv Lireyav. Hashem doesn't just send the Malach to the Yireyav. It saves the environment, the vicinity, the things that surround the Yireyav. So just like when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem saves not only the people, Hashem saves what is in their vicinity, Saviv, the Tefillin bag is Misavev, the Tefillin. The tefillin is the tefillin, and the tefillin bag is a tofel. It's the environment of the tefillin. It's a drasha. Okay, this is the drasha. Now, what is the lums of the drasha? Choyne mal chashem sabla uya vabech al tseim, chachi nami. Tefillin, lihi yoysam, the tefillin to be lihi yoysam, eitzel atik. The tik is an extension. Okay, I'm over here using a different device. Let me just make sure this thing is working. Could everyone online hear me? Dr. Freeman, can you hear me online? It's good? Okay, all right, fine. So this is this is included in the halacha. Saviv liriyach. Well, it's from Shabbos. We'll translate for Shabbos a little more. Next halacha. Lo yeshu be'artzecha. Hareizu asar shlo yeshivu goy oved avod the zara beineyan. Okay, we have a halacha that when you conquer Eretz Yisrael, you have to get rid of all of the Canaanim. Do not allow them to live in the land because they're going to do avodah zarah. They're going to influence yachal al chinam. Yachal al chinam. Yachal al chinam. Talmud loymar. I would think. Now I don't know what this means. Talmud loymar pen yachtiu ois chali kivor hiftachticha. I've already promised you. Chayne malach Hashem saviv liroya vayichalit same. Yechalitze milachatoi heoch anicham beinechem pen yachtiu oischali hein mischavnim leham ritchem bi umatala yesh biyetchem. What benefit do you have from them? Viatem noy koshin bohem. You're going to stumble from them. Umischavin li kaloya. And you're going to cause me to destroy you. Lekach ani masircha lo yeshu bi'artzecha. So here is saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu over here is promising us that choyne malach Hashem saviv li'ri'ov ha'yichalitzeim, in reference to Eretz Yisrael, Hashem does not want the goyim to be in our vicinity. It's not just enough that the goyim should not, because if the goyim are in our seviva, in our vicinity, they will surely influence us and cause us to be nichshol in averus. Okay, I don't have the exact translation of these words, but he's saying over a very powerful principle, which is very simple, but sometimes that we forget, that a person is affected by his environment. Don't make anything. Over here, we live in America. You hear the whole day the darshan about abortion, darshan, talk about critical race theory, the white man is evil, doing these crazy things, and the total breakdown of the separation between Zohar and the Keva. It's unbelievable. So you go into some circles, listen, it's not no chaos. It's not no chaos. There's nothing to do with us. It's not true. This pasuk tells you it's not true. If you're in an environment where this is all they talk about the whole day, and the whole thrust of society is to if the whole thrust of society is to engage in these type of things, it affects us. It definitely affects us. You walk in this street, the whole Seviva affects us. You know, it's amazing. No, you don't think it affects us?
You see it walking around the street?
Yes.
I mean the whole.
We've gone through this 1,000 times. Normal people do not accept this, and
absolutely,
and it's beginning to wear very thin on sane people.
Really?
And you don't see what I see.
Okay, but halavai, you're right.
I think it does have effect.
The whole attitude, people, the language.
If the field calms down, it affects everybody. That's what
it affects us,
but the resistance is very strong.
Not strong enough. If it was so strong, they would have removed from power, from office, people.
Yeah, but that's not the point. The point is, that's what happens.
It's a trickle-down effect.
That's exactly how we got this far. It was how it affected us over the last 30 years.
Tolerance. It's a very frightening thing. We're coming out to Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is of Chorban Beis HaMikdash. Chazal say, what does it say in the Pasuk? It says, Kedoshim Tiyu, Ki Kedosh Ani Hashem Elokeich. And then the parasha enumerates the arayas. So this Rashi on Chumash, I'm not telling you anything esoteric. Rashi says, Kol Mokoyim Sheyesh Kedusha, any place where you find sanctity, Kedusha, Rabbi, please. Kol Mokoyim, I don't remember the exact words, Rabbi, Any place where you find Kiddusha, there you find a Geder of Erva. Now, it used to be back in the olden days, when you talk about Erva, you mean you go to a wedding, the question is there a Mechitza? Is there not a Mechitza? Is the Mechitza in Shul 10 inches tall, 18 inches tall, 6 feet? Can you see through the Mechitza? Right? Here, Rabbi Sai. It used to be, the question of Kedusha was a question of separation. You know, the men on this side, women on that side, right? But there's something called a Zohar and something called a Nekeva. Now, we're living in a world where you talk about Kedusha, the thrust of many people, of many crazy people, is to completely destroy the Geder of Zohar and Nekeva. It used to be in the olden days. There's a Zohar, and there's a Nekeva, and there's Taruvis, and depending upon the Kedusha, where there'll be Gedarim to separate Zoharim from Nekevites, so it should not lead to an Aveir. So to each his own, the different Gedarim by different groups in society. Today, there's no such thing as Zohar Nekeva. A child who's born, the first thing you tell him is, you confuse him, is he a Zohar Nekeva? The Beis Lakish say, you know, there's no such thing. Everything goes. There's a breakdown in the fundamentals, in the shoyrish. Hashem created Zohar Nekeva Bira'am. And now in society, no. Hashem didn't create Zohar Nekeva. Can you imagine the Chief Justice, a Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States of America, the most powerful nation in the world, has a country with a justice system, and dealing with the elite of the elite, is not embarrassed to say in front of the whole world, I don't know, I cannot define this concept of Zohar Unikeva Bira'am, to challenge the Torah, the most elementary principle. How could that be? Doesn't it say, where does that come from? It comes from the fact that there's no Beis HaMikdash. Kol Mokon Sha'ata Moitzei Kedusha, wherever there is sanctity, Shom Ata, there you find a Geder of Erva. Kidoishim Tihiyu Ki Kodoishim Yashem Lokechem. And the parish of Arias, wherever there is Kedusha, there is automatically a Geder. If there was a Beis HaMikdash today, it could not be possible that there can be such a Mitzvah that we find in the world today. The sanctity, the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash would radiate in this world, where it could not be possible there could be people that think along these lines to say there's no Hevdel between a Zohar and a Kedusha. It's not possible. It's because there is no Kedusha in this world, and if there's no Kedusha, then there's no Geder Erva, and if there's no Geder Erva, it can even lead to an extreme that we've never seen in our lifetimes in this country, where there's no Hevdel between the Zohar and the Kedusha. You can't even define the two. And things that you hear on the news are just unbelievable. For the president, for the vice president of the United States to sit down in front of the whole world and say, my name is so-and-so, and then start talking and say, and these are my pronouns? I mean, could there be a greater zilzal in the world? Is there a greater zilzal in the world? It's not to be believed. How does that happen? You know that happens? Because there's no Kedusha. If there's Kedusha, the Kedusha radiates. And when there's Kedusha, there's a Geder of Erva. We're not discussing anymore if the Mechitza is 6 feet or the Mechitza is 18 inches. We're not discussing a Geder of Erva, men on the left, women on the right. We're not discussing that. We're discussing the essence, the definition of Zohar Unikeva Bira'am. How could that be? There's no Kedusha. Now you know what the Pella is. Okay, there's no Beis HaMikdash. But every street corner in America, there's a Beis HaKnesses, a Mikdash Ma'at. And if there's a Mikdash Ma'at, shouldn't the Mikdash Ma'at, the sanctity of the Mikdash Ma'at, be enough of a power, of a source of Kedusha, that radiates in society where there should be at least the fundamentals of a geder, of zachar and nekeva? Obviously not. Why not? There's something wrong with us. Although we don't have the Beis HaMikdash with the ultimate Hashuas HaShechina, but look how many Batei Knesiyos there are today in America. There have never been more Batei Knesiyos in America. Batei Midrashos. Why is it not the Kedusha that is in this world? Why has it not radiated to a degree of there should be at least a sense of, it says in the Torah, Zohar Unikeva Bira'am. There's something called a Zohar. There's something called a Nikeva. No, you don't want to go, you want to have Taruvis? Because on the hate.
It says let me know. Call eight, three, let me know, because let me know, everything let me know.
There's something
the
really wrong.
The entire Brihma was separate.
Okay, everybody, sorry. Yeah, okay, we're going to stop and take a short break.